Okay, welcome to Table Talk. This is episode 6 already, and you can hear it. We're speaking English again because we are in a very special place. We are at Maastricht at the World Meeting. So I have some guests around Europe, and I'm going to start with the convener. Can you quickly introduce yourself?
Yeah, sure. Thanks, Alan. My name is Patrick Kip. I'm a past president of Roundtable in the Netherlands, and I'm the convener of this world meeting.
Thank you for being here.
Yes, thanks.
And on my other side, there's RTBI, Steve.
Thank you, Colin. Pleasure to be here in Maastricht. A fantastic event so far. So yes, I'm Steve Eccles, national president of Roundtable Britain and Ireland.
Welcome also to the Netherlands. And here my friend from Italy, Daniel.
Ciao, Colin. Thank you for having me here in Maastricht. I'm Daniele Cusi, Roundtable International President.
That's the first time you said it out loud?
Yes. Yes, definitely the first time today.
It sounds good.
It sounds good. Many congratulations.
Thank you, Colin.
And tonight we have the gala, and then you get the juries, right?
Yeah, that's what it's supposed to be. If Mark is not running away with it.
If he lets you have them.
We have to keep that. We have to keep an eye on him. Okay. Well, good to have you here. We're gonna talk about, of course, the world meeting, how it's organized, how what do you like, what are our learnings, but also why is it so important that we are together with all these countries, all these associations, to learn from each other. But I would like to hear that from you. But let we start with the organization side of it, Patrick.
Yeah, it's been a long road until we have reached this point. Mm-hmm. But it's great to see that we've managed to get 1,600 people into Maastricht.
Wow!
And yesterday I was on my bike riding through Maastricht, and just everywhere you looked, there were tables, and that feeling is indescribable. It's just great. Really special.
Yeah, goosebumps.
Yeah. It's something we hoped would happen. Mm-hmm. But we couldn't predict the weather. But the weather, it helps a lot. Yeah. So every terrace has a table on it. And it's just one big city filled with tables at the moment.
Yeah. It's full sunny and 23, 24 degrees outside.
Yeah. So everybody's outside when they're not at a meeting or one of our parties. Yeah.
And the one of the parties, because it's now Saturday.
Yeah.
And you started on Wednesday already?
Yeah, we started on Wednesday with the welcome party. We had about 350 tables at the venue, one of the nicest hotels in Maastricht. Had a very good evening, more or less an evening where we could meet up again, talk about everything we had seen in the last couple of months.
Yeah.
And meet up with some old friends.
Yeah, that was really the warm-up night.
Yeah. Just the warming up. Because the night after, we had the theme party at one of the biggest discos in Maastricht. 1,000 people celebrating carnival. And that was a really good evening.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it caused a headache with a lot of tables.
Yeah. Really to a lot.
Yeah. And yeah, yesterday we had the Nations Night. Nations Night, that was our biggest evening. 1,500 tables.
Yeah, wow.
Yeah.
Presentable venue.
Yeah.
Outside
with good weather. We even had some problems getting all the people back in because the weather was too good.
Yeah.
But
honestly, guys, one of the craziest, in a good way, national nights I've ever attended in a world meeting. And I've been to more. The outside piece of the national night was totally amazing. Your stand for the Dutchies was incredible. Literally incredible. Congratulations, guys, because it was literally one of the best national night I've ever attended in my life. That so far it's 11 years on tabling. So
yeah.
I've been to kind of a lot.
That's a big compliment, Patrick.
Thank you, Daniele. We tried to make it look like more or less like a marketplace where everybody could walk around, have a look at what they like, and just have a taste of everything.
It was literally, yes, that one, that point, the taste of everything. We had people chatting, talking easily in one spot, having food. having a beer with your friends. You met for the first time, your brothers met for the first time. And together there is a place where people can dance, can have fun, in a good way, of course. But that was amazing. I mean, you put a lot of effort on that, but also the association, all the associations were really good.
I only had one complaint from Nations Night last night, and it was my first Nations Night, it's my first world meeting. The Dutch had a pizza oven there.
Yeah.
And despite my request, they would not put pineapple on a pizza for me.
Oh, no.
Yeah, they had some instructions. I don't know who gave them the instruction, but...
this is going to be a war on the podcast.
Yeah.
Yeah, of course.
Italian and pineapple. it was your first Nations Night. Can you describe what the Nations Night is and how it came...
Yeah,
I felt it.
Yeah, I mean, this is my first world meeting, and obviously as national president of RTBI, here representing our members, and yeah, my first world meeting, I'd heard so much about the Nations Night, obviously seeing all the different associations there, showcasing the best of their country, and I think it was just great, just seeing people walking around and creating those new friendships, and just smiles everywhere, you know, it was phenomenal. I guess my only disappointment was USA just bringing along 200 McDonald's hamburgers. That's sort of that's not really the best of America.
Yeah, sure. but that's their tradition.
Yeah,
I know.
But no, an absolutely fantastic event, you know, and seeing everybody making that effort, and you know, if you could bottle the atmosphere there, that is table in a bottle, absolutely.
Yeah, yeah. So really, what you described, it's like a marketplace. Like really, imagine a market, and you have just an empty table, and every country association can dress it up like they want.
Yeah, every nation had the opportunity to pick a marketplace and offer all the goods that they have from their own country. And there is alcohol, but also a lot of good food.
Only a little.
Yeah, a little bit. Also a lot of good food and specialties from the different countries.
Yeah,
we're shown. Yeah,
I think the UK we're not renowned for our culinary excellence, and I saw you'd arranged it for us to be between Morocco and France with an amazing spread of food. So I think we relied on a lot of Scottish and Irish whiskey, which seemed to go down quite well.
You had some pastries.
Yeah, we had some pastries. Yeah, we did. But I think there were certainly better pastries out there.
Maybe.
Maybe there wasn't better Scotch. We had some pretty good Scotch whiskey.
Of course we have. That's why we always come visiting you guys. Definitely I will never come eating pizza from you, but, you know, that's because I'm Italian probably.
Did you taste the pizza without the pineapple?
Yes, the pizza was pretty good. The oven was pretty nice.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was kind of surprised about the oven. That's what made me surprised. The pizza was good.
It was a standoff, 41.
41 Club. 41 Club in the Netherlands, yeah.
It was a great home, and honestly. And the pizza was made good. Maybe a little bit more salt would fit that pizza, but, and of course without pineapple, but it was really amazing job. The pizza was nice, but...
Oh, great.
Honestly, again, guys, congratulations, because literally one of the best National Night I've ever attended.
How many associations had at a market?
I think we ended at 38. We tried to get all the nations to fill in a Google form, but as it goes with tabling, it's quite hard to let them fill in a Google form. So I think we had three or four nations that came up on the same yesterday evening, and asked, "Hey, where's our stand?" And I tried to have a look in our form, and I said, "Oh, you didn't fill in the form. Oh, can we have a stand? Oh, no, let me have a look." Yeah, that's the work of a convener, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the work of everyone, believe me.
Yeah.
I think I was very impressed as well, because we brought some English sparkling wine to the event this year, and we were next to the French and managed to get the national president of France saying that the English sparkling wine was just as good as the champagne.
Oh.
I'll be publishing that video on social media for record.
Please share this video with me, because I need to talk with Olivier later. So.
You're going to need it.
Definitely, yeah.
Hey guys, why is it so important that we do this, that we do a world meeting, that we come together from all over the world?
I think for me, and coming to my first, we brought a delegation from the UK and Ireland of around 50 tablers, just over 50 tablers this year. And I think it's a real combination of obviously sharing ideas, the business obviously of Roundtable International, but also creating those friendships. You know, I think that's absolutely key. So I think seeing that, and as you say, Patrick, going around and seeing a table on every corner was just fantastic. And seeing people mingling and discussing what's going on in their association, and hopefully these guys take back some new ideas. I think that's certainly what I see as this, as the importance. Obviously, we are a worldwide organisation of friendship, of fellowship, but actually, you know, if people can take a new idea back to their association and implement for the better of our great organisation, then that's an absolute win in my eyes.
Yeah. Do you have heard or seen something that you think, yeah, I'm going to take that back to the board or to...
Yeah, I think there's been a few. I think and equally we've been sharing ideas as I've said a number of times over the last few days. Roundtable Britain and Ireland is in a period of growth. We grew the first time for 21 years last year, and we're on track to grow significantly this year. And again, we're trying to share those ideas and some of the things that we've come up with, and hopefully tables can take that back to their associations. I think in terms of what I'll take away is that people can definitely drink alcohol when we're at world meetings. There's no doubt about that. So you need to have a strong liver. But equally, I think the change in culture as well to make sure, you know, we've seen the Unicorn Club now, that it's not so reliant on that. And I think that's great just to see that some of these younger generations, and when we try and approach how we attract Gen Z as the next generation of young tablers, how we need to adapt the organisation and these events to suit. So taking some of that culture away, I think, is really important.
Yeah. What was the biggest key point of going back to growth?
In the UK. So, I mean, I think it's been a lot of hard work from a great team within RTBI, and it probably started 2 years ago. And I think the view, to simplify it, we could be here all day talking about it, but really Roundtable is a simple concept that I think over the years we've overcomplicated. We've made it more complicated than it needs to be. And we've seen decline in various associations, as we have in RTBI. And we I think everybody here at this event and in all our associations would agree that Roundtable is fantastic. You know, when we look at the results of the recent survey that RTI undertook, you know, the Net Promoter Score was fantastic in terms of people will talk positively about table. So why have associations been in decline if that's the case? It means there's something broken that means for the next generation of tablers it doesn't look relevant. So in terms of how I think we've tackled that, we've tried to get table back to basics, simplify the message and be consistent in that message, and really boiling down to three pillars of how to run a round table, which is all about what is the product that round table is selling, what is it that's going to persuade tablers to come and spend their time within round table. The second then is how you market that and how you show those young tablers that they should come and be a part of this and it will enrich and change their lives. And then finally, making sure that those tables have the processes in place that can help then, when we do get the guys through the door, that we can convert them into new members and give them all the experiences that the four of us in this room have had within our time in Roundtable.
Yeah. Yeah, great. What is the goal for the next few years?
So we developed a three-year plan last year. So we, in my vice president year, we ran a survey. So we got 40%, similar to RTI, we got 40% of our members to fill in that survey to understand what floor tablers, grassroots tablers wanted to see from Roundtable. And we delivered a three-year plan, and that was based around two key themes. One was around membership growth. So what we said is by 2027, we want to be a relevant young man's organisation for 3,000 diverse members. So diversity linked to the United in Diversity theme is a big part of that. We've revisited that because actually we ended year one at pretty much 3,000 members. So all of a sudden it wasn't an aspirational target. We've increased that to 3,500 members by 2027. And actually, I think all being well, we could well hit 3,500 members by the end of this year. So again, we might need to, my successor, John Clark, I think will probably be, hopefully, fingers crossed, be increasing that target again. So we've set that target around membership growth and making sure that we're a welcoming environment for a diverse mix of members.
Yeah. Really great.
You are doing an amazing job, guys, in RTBI. I luckily have the chance last year to see your job when it started. And you know what is incredible? You are a 45 years old association, okay? And basically, what I analyzed last year is that you are a 45 age rule association, but your average age is literally comparable with a 40 here, so the Age Rule Association. And that's amazing. Miss a lot of job, a lot of effort from our side, Miss, to really take care about Gen Z, about the young people. And I'm really happy about that because, guys, congratulations, your job. It's amazing.
Yeah, and I think the challenge for us now is to maintain that consistency going across. And I certainly know John. John's a good friend of mine as the current vice president, and obviously he's a big advocate of Roundtable International, having been CEE chair a few years ago. So he's certainly going to continue the movement. We're delivering this through workshops. It's an open invite that I've given to Roundtable International. If people want to send delegates to come along with those and come along to some of those, and we'll share those ideas to take back, you'd be more than welcome. But yeah, I think the really interesting stat, as you say, Daniele, in terms of looking at our membership growth, last year we had, I think, 769 new members compared to average of 300, 350 in previous years. But it's the demographic of that membership. It's far younger now, and you know, when you look at 769 new members last year, that's about a quarter of our membership are new members, and they're a lot younger. So we're bringing in younger guys because we're delivering programs for them that are more suited to younger guys. Some of that is around alcohol. You know, that actually some of the younger members want to make sure that there's events where you don't necessarily have to have alcohol. Doesn't mean you can't have alcohol, but do an event where you can go along, whether it's axe throwing, or I went to an event recently where the guys had got some old pianos and split into teams to smash the pianos up and post them through a letterbox. You know, just crazy ideas. you'd only do in round table and think events like that. And then obviously maybe ending in the pub with some food and a couple of minutes on business. But it's proven really successful. And as you say, you know, if we can drive that average age down, you know, fantastic.
That's the key. We need to lower our average age globally. We are doing an amazing job. Everywhere globally, we're doing an amazing job. But when I see you, RTBI, compared to the other association with the 45 age rule, so with the 40, it's amazing. It's how the way you keep the average age under, if I'm not wrong, because I have a lot of numbers in my mind, but you are actually around 36 average
right.
or something like that, around that.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Yeah, and as I say, it's coming down as well all the time. I think that will be down below 36 by the end of this year, just looking at the new members that are coming in and the new tables that are chartering. We've already started two new tables this year. We've got three more that will be approved at our October meeting. So five new tables this year, which is great, because that's how Roundtable in the UK, most places, it grew through extension into new areas, and then that sort of pulled back over the years. But now we're starting to do that. So geographically, we've got a couple of great tables, Wrexham in North Wales and Stockton-on-Tees in the northeast of England, who are absolutely flying and approaching 20 members already within a few months of starting.
Is it also like recharter old tables?
Yeah, generally. There's been a couple of new tables that have started in recent. That's generally been where a current table has moved to a new area. But a lot of these are recharters that have come back from having closed a number of years ago. So that's great to see.
And then you have also the history coming back.
Yeah, and because the hard thing in RTBI, so I often talk about the decline in RTBI, and it's one of the reasons that I stood to be the national president, was I joined Roundtable in 2013, and I think we had 4,500 members then. And when I got frustrated and said, look, this has got to change, because Roundtable has enriched my life, it's enriched my family's life, it's made my life better. So I want to make sure that we're all just custodians, stewards of Roundtable in the time we're here. We all have a duty to make sure that it's here for the next generation. And that's really what I stood for and the current board of Roundtable in the UK stands for. Let's make sure that Roundtable is here for the next generation.
Yeah. I hear you talking, and I'm in the national board of the Netherlands, and it's so funny, or not funny, it's great to hear it. What you're explaining is basically also what Eric has for his motto for this year. Tabling is really a gift. Pay it forward, and if you're gonna relax 2 or 3 years, you're done. You have to quit.
And it's worth just saying, a lot going back to sharing ideas, and you know, a lot of what we talk about is look to the Dutch model. You know, to look at those tables in terms of where they sit in terms of members, and if tables start to fall below 12 members, we need to step in and help them, and that's what we're doing. So we've had, I think, 30 of our tables on what we call the Membership Growth Project, where we help them with their social media and their programs and things like that. Because every table needs more than two members a year. If you don't do that, you will eventually be in decline. That's what we say.
Yeah, Patrick, a lot of good things to talk about.
A lot of good things to talk about, but the thing you see is that tabling all across the world, in every nation, in every association, the basics are the same. And that's what we share with each other. And that's where a world meeting is so important. And we've got all kinds of different cultures, all kinds of different people, but in tabling, we're all the same. And that's why one of our main goals as a world meeting committee was to bring more Dutchies and more young tablers to the world meeting, to let them know the world of international tabling. And yeah, I'm really proud to say that we managed. We had over 350 Dutch tablers here in our world meeting.
That's really important. Right now, what I'm seeing as being a VP last year was that we had a really problem on seeing the same faces in international events. Seeing the same faces, it means that people are not moving, they're not traveling. Round table means no borders. So if you stay stuck in your club, you don't come visiting your brothers outside of your own club. You just need, at the beginning, to travel international. You can even travel to closer club, to travel to another area, travel to another close association. But you definitely need to break the borders. Right. If you don't do it, in my opinion, I mean, it's easy for me to talk about that because I was an IRO, I was national president, I always traveled a lot in 11 years. But if you don't do that, you lost maybe at least the 50% of the meaning of round table, in my opinion. I'm maybe too much traveling, but...
Yeah, but they have to know that there's much more than your own table. And it's a step to, the first step to take to table outside of your own table is the most important one. Because I'm sure if they once take the first step, once they had the experience, they're going to come back.
And I think that's the key, and that's what we're seeing in the UK and Ireland is it's all about the level of engagement, you know, showing people, you know, you've got to use the social media to, as we say, if you could bottle the experience of Nations Night and try and get that across, because once people do come, they come again, you know, and that's really important, because otherwise you just do see the same faces, because they enjoy it every year. It's how do you drag those people in? You need people to be talking positively about these events, whether that's internationally or nationally. We have a one of our annual national events is our National Sporting Weekend, which has been on the decline in terms of attendance. And what it is lots of sports, lots of tabling. Each area competes and takes home a trophy. So if they win, and the sort of fellowship and the fun and the competition there is great. And this year we had nearly 300 tablers at that. And we actually took the decision to take a photo at the end of the night of everybody that was there. And it's the craziest photo ever. And it sums up round table. When you look at it and we post that picture now, it just looks fun. You know, it looks fun, and that's what's going to drag people along.
That's a good item, because we're going to try to make the biggest group photo in Roundtable ever this evening at 6 o'clock. So,
no, we're not trying. We will do it, guys.
We'll do it. Definitely. Yeah, I agree with you. Yeah.
And it's making sure that those, you know, we say that a lot of our growth is down to our level of engagement at all levels, and our national board there being as a support structure, not this tower at the top. You know, the president should be there to make sure the most important thing within roundtables is the members and the roundtables. There would be no national board and anything else if you didn't have the tables. So we need to try and show, in the images that we use, try to show the sort of fun and the spirit of roundtable, and choosing those photos really carefully as well. It needs to look fun. And, you know, I appreciate we say we'll take a big photo tonight, which will be fantastic in terms of everyone. We just need to make sure that those photos look really relevant to the next generation of tablers, because that's what we say. Obviously, charter nights and black tie events are a big part of tabling in the UK. But if you post, all you're posting is pictures of that, that doesn't really sum up round table. And a 21-year-old will look at that picture and say, it's not really for me. It looks really old fashioned. So we need to introduce people into those concepts and ideas, because tabling is about whether it's about the fun and friendship and the social activities or the community and charity and fundraising activities, you know, that's the spirit of 99% of what you do in your tabling life.
And that's the point. Our problem is not what we do around table, because we do amazing things, from charity events to fellowship, brotherhood. It's amazing. We actually have a huge problem in communication. Mm. So we were discussing a lot in the board last year, where we keep talking about it. We don't have to change around table because it's an amazing product, let's say that. We need to change the way we communicate. In the past few years, everywhere in the world has a huge problem on the way to communicate who we are, because we are amazing. We just need to find the right way to communicate that. Mm.
And it goes back to the comment about it being a simple concept that we've overcomplicated, because I think if you asked every one of the 1,600 tablers here what is round table, you would probably get 500, 600, 700 different answers.
Even more.
Yeah, I suspect. So, because as you say, tabling is the same wherever you go. When I go around our clubs in the UK, every table is the same. Yeah, they all have they have regional differences and maybe different traditions and things like that, but the heart of round table is always the same. And I know that that's going to be the same wherever you go within round table. The sort of the general concept is still the same, and the same sorts of guys that are joining.
Yeah, I know, because you know, Italy, we have a lot of difference inside Italy. So from one side to another, we're totally different people, and round table is something that really keep us together. In Italy, we never agree together, never. But the round table, we can do it, and that's amazing. That's what round table can make in a so complicated country like it's Italy itself. Round table unite people, and that's incredible. That's the power of round table.
Yeah, and we shouldn't be apologetic about what round table is either, because I think there's been, you know, in the UK, you know, a single sex organisation, and is that relevant in modern times? I think it's as relevant as it as ever has been, because in the UK, sadly, male suicide is the biggest killer of men under 45. People need friends, they need an outlet, because, and that's why Roundtable and the Roundtable family is so important, to give all genders, all ages, the opportunity to meet new people and do amazing things.
Yeah, you know what I like about your hearing talking? We started about the world meeting and the parties, but when we started really talking about tabling and what is it, we just go into the subjects, and we make it relevant on so many more than just partying, because that's the good thing about social media, is that you can see what is all the fun and what are we doing. But every tabler has between when you're tabling, you have a problem. You get kids, you get married, you get divorced, you want another job. There are so many problems that you can talk with just some guys, sometimes seriously, sometimes just with a beer and yeah, less serious. And there's so much knowledge and people that want to help you with it without costs or so. Just friends helping each other. And I see it happening here also in the studio. So,
but I wouldn't say getting married is a problem. But
no, because I've never married an Italian.
there's a lot happening, but also you need some advice if you're gonna get married, if you buy a house, if you.
There's always a tabler wanting to help you.
Yeah,
and that's one of the basic principles. You share your problem, and one way or the other, there is a tabler that will help you or assist you.
Yeah, yeah. That's
and that feeling is, I think it's indescribable.
Yeah,
yeah, and I think that's absolutely right. You know, we see it all of the time, don't we? If someone needs some help, there is always someone there to go and help out. And that's the sort, again, the spirit of Roundtable.
I think also that's good that you have, like the age gap can be between 10 and 12 years, between the youngest and the oldest tabler. But there's also a knowledge gap that you're just try to help, because there are guys, someone has already been there, done that, they're gonna get the help. And that's also why it's relevant for young tablers.
And that's nice to see the development of young tablers as well. My table is in Essex. We're a strong table. We've got over 20 members. We raise around £100,000 per year for charity. And there's some really nice examples.
That's really a lot.
Yeah, that's
for a year.
Yeah, yeah. We run a number of big charity events. In fact, they're running one today. I'm getting a lot of stick for not being there, helping out. We've got a carnival that we run in my town, but the one example that really has stuck with me over the years. I was the chairman of my table in 2017, and we had a young new member that was, I think he was 20 or 21 at the time, Jordan. And he came to me and he said, I think we should do a soapbox race. So you see the Red Bull soapbox race? And so he said, I think we should do one of those.
Like suicide.
Said, yeah, yeah, yeah. Crazy. Absolutely nuts. So I said, that sounds great, Jordan. You know, and as a 20-year-old, he came, I said, look, let's come up with an idea. He came up with a plan. We ran the first one in 2018. Our town has a population of, I think, about 12,000 people, and we got 25,000 people to the event.
Whoa.
It just went astronomical. So it's now the largest independent soapbox race in the country. 60 carts, people build carts. We have a number of round tables that compete in that, which is quite good as well. Throw themselves down a hill over jumps and things like that, and that raises around £50,000 a year. But what it's really shown is that a young guy came up with an idea. Everybody got behind him. Some of the older guys that have experience in other things really got behind him and let him drive that idea. And now we've, you know, it's delivered amazing results. And seeing him develop as an individual has been really proud for me.
Yeah, exactly. Daniel, if there is someone listening, young, just started tabling, driving in his car, what do you want to say to that guys?
Don't be afraid of sharing your ideas. Don't be afraid of talking with your brothers sitting on table, because there are no stupid ideas. We just need to find a way to make them working. But any idea is it's a seed that can make it can become a forest. So one seed. That's the example in your club, in your home club. It was a seed, just a seed from 20, 21 old guys that made a forest, a huge forest that now make that amount of money for charity projects. So that's really important. If you are a young guy that you join our movement, don't be afraid. Be an active part of our movement immediately. No wait. It's a round table. It's a thing that has an end. Hey, you know when it's going to end. So it should work for you as a motivation to immediately start working, share your ideas, to be not someone that is just carried by the car, but the one who drives the car. That's what I suggest to all the young tablers that are listening to us right now.
Yeah, and I think just to add to that, what we say to all of the round tables, round table is a safe space to you know, there's nothing wrong with making mistakes, and you've got your friends around you. It's not like in your job and in your work where it could have huge consequences. It's the place to really push the boundaries and be able to explore that. And as a team, we're all there to support each other. You know, messing things up is fine. You know, it becomes a laugh and a little bit of fun when they do that. But again, that's all part of the spirit of table. And we all learn from that as young guys.
Yeah. What is your biggest goal for your year?
I want to connect back to the floor, because my feelings, I told you guys, it's 11 years I'm part of Roundtable. And I was IRO in 2019. So it's a lot of time that I'm turning around. And the feeling I had is that right now RTI, Roundtable International, is like his own entity. People are kind of afraid to even talk with us. So there are many, many floor tablers that they even don't know that we have Roundtable International. So my biggest goal for the year will be to be back connected with the floor. The guys need to understand that if I'm here, it's only because of them. I'm here to serve them. I'm not here because I'm better than them. And that's a message that we need to make everyone understand the round table. That should be my best goal. Because really, guys, believe me, I'm so sad about the feeling that I'm getting from the floor. Now, I mean, Steve, you were yesterday at our meeting. You saw the way I tried to make it fun, like just some stupid Italian jokes, but it was because I want the connection with you guys. No. I'm not there because, of course, I wanted to be there, but I'm there because I really want to serve you guys. That's the role of RTI and all its board members. So that will be my biggest achievement is to, in 3, 4, 5 years from now, to go back to the floor and having a beer with in front of a friend and they, oh yes, you are one of the president of RTI, I'm part of one of the member of the RTI board. It was amazing to stay with you. You are one of my brother, and not just, you know, the people looking at you far away how you were. Yeah. RTI president, I'm kind of afraid of you, what they're doing here while you're having a beer with me.
Watch out, yes, the president. Yeah.
I mean, from my view, hearing you hear that, Daniele, is really reassuring, because I think we'll, you know, it's exactly that. You know, everybody that is in the room and every 1,600 or all the tables that are here, everybody's equal. That, you know, whatever your role, we're all tablers. You know, the fact that we stand here as national presidents or international presidents is just that, the passion and willing to give up that time for our organisation. So it's nice to hear you say that, because I think then, that helps with that communication at all levels, down to grassroots level, because we have the challenge at national level, and I'm sure it's the same at international level, about demonstrating the value to those floor members, those grassroots tablers. And that's really important that we can do that. We've spent, when I talk about our sort of growth project being a couple of years old, this, you know, that also started maybe 5 years ago, where we started to think, look, let's make sure that every single penny, euro, whatever that we collect from members is going back into the organisation and adds value. That's really important. So I wish you every success in that, because I think it'll be a really, it could be a real game changer for Roundtable.
Thank you, Steve. I hope so, guys. That's I'm basically here because Roundtable gave a lot to me. In these 11 years, I made friends for life, brothers for life. It helped me on growing as a man, as a businessman, and as a father. Now I have a 5-year-old son, so Roundtable really helped me a lot on that. And I'm here because I want to give back to Roundtable at least a piece of what Roundtable gave to me. Yeah. And the only way to make it is to first understand that you're just an easy, simple tabler with more weight on your shoulder, but I'm just a tabler. No difference than one tabler than we maybe in that last night. And so it's exactly the same. And I'm really confident I have a really good team for them coming here. All amazing guys. I have an amazing floor. All you presidents and Iros, you are actually amazing. I love the interaction we had in our AGM. And that's another reason I suggest the new guys, the new tablers, to join our international event, because we had a really productive discussion on our last consular meeting and AGM, and that's why you should come. You should attend an event like the RTI World Meeting, because it's the place where we look face to face, all together, we share ideas, we improve our projects, we improve our way of tabling, and after that, we share our democracy. We elected the new VP yesterday between two guys running together, not one against the other. They were literally running together. And after that, after amazing discussion, maybe we can have even small fights, but that's what I love a round table. We finish the event, we go outside, we have a beer together, we laugh. Amazing event. And that's why you should attend such this event.
Yeah, I can imagine. Patrick, you're also a past president.
Yeah.
The feeling that Daniel described about the distance between tablers and national board. Did you have the feeling also?
Yeah, that's something I fully recognize. I've been the president, it's now 3-4 years ago, so time goes fast. But I even had people talk to me, and when I visited a lot of tables, more than 70 in my 2 years as a president during Corona. So when I visited the tables, I would first ask them, hey, is there a dress code? What would you like me to wear? Because there are tables that say, hey, if you go and get in with a full suit and everything on, you're not welcome. You won't be one of the guys. And that's a strange feeling, because I was very proud getting the jewels and the suit and everything. And then somebody says, yeah, but you have to be one of the guys. And I fully understand what they say. We have to support our local clubs, because they are the most important thing we have. And yeah, I think that's a great goal, Daniele.
Thank you, Patrick.
I think a lot of that is around changing culture, you know, and I recognize what you're saying, Patrick, because actually, you know, maybe 30 years ago, the president might have been seen as a dignitary to come and speak at an event. And I think, okay, it's nice for tables to see the president come along and have an interest. But again, I would much prefer to spend my time going to the grassroots tables, rolling up my sleeves and getting involved in a charity event or a social event, because then you are one of the guys and it breaks down those boundaries, rather than the president or a national board member's being seen as something that's so far away from them and so removed. I think it's really important that we do sort of get stuck in with our members.
Yeah, that's really important. It's funny to see you talking like this and to get back on the floor. So I've made a mistake to only invite presidents or conveners, important people. So maybe on the next podcast, I invite just one. We call it Joe Tabler, a table that I don't know yet. Maybe that's a good idea for the podcast as well.
Yeah, it would be nice. It'd be nice. And well, we're not just the important people. We are maybe the people with a little bit more experience than the other. Let's say that. But it would be nice to have like kind of a debate with a really young tabler and someone with experience. Maybe you can invite one of your really old past presidents or something like that. So we can. It would be really nice to see the difference dynamic, depending on the age, on when they were leaving round table. That's a nice input.
Yeah, I take it with me for the next podcast. Okay, guys, tonight we have the gala. We're gonna go to the nice Chateau Gerlach.
Sint Gerlach, correct?
Sint Gerlach.
Yeah, that's an 8-minute drive from Maastricht.
Yeah,
it's a very beautiful place where we're gonna host 1,300 people at our gala. So 1,300. It's gonna be really big. But it's a really special venue, and I'm not gonna tell everything because we'll have to see it for ourselves tonight.
Yeah. Just check the social medias, and then I think you will see something.
A lot of surprises from my side, so be ready, guys.
Ooh. Oh, wow, okay. Can you tell us something? It's the podcast is gonna be online later, so can you? Things.
I can just give you a hint. Like, have you ever seen the movie The Godfather?
Yeah, sure.
That's the maximum I can tell you guys for now, but he will really love that. And you see, tonight I'm going to make a really huge step in the direction of Roundtable Family. I hope Colin, you're ready to talk in your podcast about Roundtable Family. So Club 41, Agora Club, Dungeon Club, and Lady Circle. And tonight it will be a huge step from Roundtable into the direction of the family. You will all see, guys, later.
Okay.
Okay. You're making us curious.
Of course. I'm Italian. I love it.
Yeah.
Okay. So we're going to be there at 6. We start?
At 6 o'clock we start with the biggest group photo ever.
Yeah.
And then after a small glass of champagne, we'll get over to the venue itself. And at 7 o'clock in the evening, we'll start with the gala.
I hope not English champagne, right?
We'll check.
Maybe some leftovers from yesterday.
You know, we Dutchies are cheap, yeah.
We can reuse it, yeah. Okay, guys, we're coming a bit to the end of the podcast. Is there anything you want to have said, but not done already?
I think from my point, it's been nice to see, as I say, my first world meeting, and one of the things that's come out of the world meeting this week has been the decision by Roundtable International to give Roundtable Britain and Ireland the right of first refusal to host the world meeting in 2027. And for those listening, 2027 is obviously a really important year in the history of Roundtable, because it's 100 years since it first started in Suckling House in Norwich in England. So, and look how far we've come. So I think that's going to be really interesting, just to learn from you guys and to work with Daniele and the team, just to try and see how we could put that together to deliver a really successful event. It's not going to be without its challenges. And we've talked about, I think we need to be a little bit more joined up, because it could be a huge event. And, you know, in terms of getting lots of new people along and old people that, that want to come and celebrate the 100th year. So it's going to be an interesting ride, I think, now that we're going to take that back to our members and talk to our members about whether we can make that happen and whether we can work with other organisations, other associations to maybe do that on a more joined up basis to deliver a truly magnificent world meeting in 2027. So watch this space.
Yeah, you know what? One of my favorite movies said, we ride together, we die together. So, as I already told you, Roundtable International, it's here to support everyone, like the amazing Dutchest guys, for this event. We will support you for the eventually world meeting 2027. And last but not least things, I really want to say thanks to you, Colin. You are doing an amazing job in the board for this podcast. We had a lot of times to talk together when you come visit me in Florence with an amazing video. And again, just guys, travel, and don't be afraid of sharing your ideas.
And yeah, we look forward to welcoming as many members of Roundtable Netherlands to the UK to any of our events. So we look forward to working together a lot more in the future.
Thanks, Patrick.
Thanks. And I can assure you, we will share our experience from the last couple of years with you. And let's see that we can get as young tablers to England as we can.
How fantastic would that be to celebrate the world's best young men's organization by getting a lot of young members to a huge event? That would be fantastic, wouldn't it?
Would
what
be
a legacy.
Goal.
Great. Thanks. Well, guys, thank you very much for being at the podcast. It was Table Talk episode 6 already. Like, share on the social media and in your own table so that as much tablers as possible can hear this. And see you in the next podcast.